go. Go before we lose it.
I'm ready.
Play it. What the fuck was that?
Hey, what's up? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast. We had to start over again because the last one, these guys just kept yelling into the microphone. And I was like, you know, I'm okay with us yelling into the microphone, but maybe not right at the beginning. Like, when we're saying, hey, welcome into my nice podcast. Then we just like immediately grab the listener by the head and just scream at the top of our lungs into his ear.
Vince pleadingly, that's the most important part.
It is. I'm trying to invite you guys into my house right now.
I blame myself for most of it.
Yeah. That's a lot of it is Matt Lieb's fault. So that brings us to the first introduction, the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Hey, I scream a lot, but then I get reprimanded.
The yogurt pimp.
Yeah, Chobani for life, bitch.
And then we got the human giant, future NFL Hall of Famer, Brendan. I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah.
At least there was some buildup that time.
Yeah, it made sense.
And
mine was just gratuitous.
I am also bad.
We've all done a bad thing. Will you sit there and think about what you've done to my podcast?
Okay. I've made it better. I thought about it for a while, and I decided I bring something to the table. Sexual proclivities. And otherwise.
We're just going to freestyle this week. We didn't really have any content.
I put my weird dick on stuff.
Well, it's game two of the World Series is on right now, and we're watching it and podcasting at the same time. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, we didn't really have much choice. It was either that or like record on a different day or a
different time, and we're not about that.
Yeah,
about
it's kind of hard when we got Brett coming. Brett's got a child that he cares for sometimes. Yeah.
And more importantly, we have a Thursday release date for
it's
all.
It's true.
Days.
People have come to expect.
We're on a deadline.
We're like Marvel, you know, like the
from Chad. Chad Woven expects this.
That's right.
Frockhess in his hot little hands on Thursday morning.
If he doesn't get it, boy.
If I don't have some dickbag screaming in my ears first thing on a podcast, I will go
insane.
He's
going to weave us a tapestry of disapproval.
I did want to talk about the whole Renee Zellweger thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to introduce actual content, but so
hashtag content.
I feel like that went from internet shock to internet think piece.
Yep,
like,
real fast.
At record speed. And I feel like think pieces are of limited value in general, but when I already know what the topic of the think piece is going to be, and then people still feel compelled to write it.
Yeah, well, it's like if you've seen more than just a small handful of think pieces, you know exactly where this think piece is going.
Yeah,
you know, and you're like, you can see it coming a mile away.
Aren't we
like,
all to blame, really?
Yeah,
when you think about it, isn't it all of us whose faces are fucked up?
It was all our fault, you know. It was all everybody's fault for Renee Zellweger looking different, and it was always the tone was always like, aren't we terrible for expecting, you know, for creating this insane standard
and for inventing surgery in the first place?
Yeah.
There's so many things to blame us all for. If we could just enumerate them one by one, step through them and reverse history back to non-existence, that would finally put me...
It would fix a lot of things, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, then it was like,
it's a shame.
You know, nobody says anything about John Travolta and Mickey Rourke's face.
Motherfucker, yes they
and
do.
I'm like, that's all they talk about.
Yeah, and not
like,
only
we did like an entire feature on like what it was titled, "What Happened to Mickey Rourke's Face?" Like that was an entire feature.
But also,
everybody wonders that.
I felt
like it's made of clay.
They missed the point a little bit too, because it's not that she looks particularly old or she looks particularly ugly or anything. It's that she looks completely different.
It's that the surgery changed the basic properties of like what you recognize about Renee Zellweger.
She's unrecognizable, and I think there's a big difference. Like you know, that's a huge, it's like when Michael Jackson hadn't like slowly turned into what he turned into, if he had just all of a sudden became what he, you know, ended up looking like, you'd say the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, people made some good points.
It's not like she looked bad. She just looks like Robin Wright Penn now.
But yeah, all of these pieces are predicated on the idea that she did this to meet some standard. Maybe she's just like, man, I really hate everyone saying, hey, Renee Zellweger, and I just want to look different. Yeah. And then they're like, hey, Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, I did feel like the one part where I felt bad was like, you know, she maybe responded to the like caricature of like Renee Zellweger. It looks like a chipmunk type thing. Like for years, she's probably gotten that. You know, she has those big cheeks and those little squinty eyes. So she decided to get rid.
Putting nuts in her cheeks.
Yeah, she put nuts. She's, you know, getting ready for the winter.
Trees.
So if it was done as a response to that kind of like scrutiny, then you know it's real. It is like legit sad, but. I still feel like she's still beautiful. She just looks like a different beautiful
person.
Shut up. Oh, good point.
I tried to draw Renee Zellweger one time. She didn't have a tail, so it was really hard. I mean, it wasn't hard. It's just that's my favorite part of the squirrel to draw.
Oh, well, she's not actually a squirrel. Yeah, she's a person.
She's a chipmunk person.
Oh, sure. But
when you draw squirrels, do you think of Renee Zellweger?
It's like phylum. Wrong animal. It's the wrong animal.
I'm leaving you guys. I don't even like you anymore. you guys don't yes and very well.
I was going with it.
Do you remember that the Chappelle Show wife swap sketch?
Uh-huh.
And he's when he's I think
white people
Leon.
Don't use washcloths.
Yeah, they don't use washcloths. You wear this? That's so good. Because I heard that so much before that sketch
really?
Even came out. Yeah, where it would be like...
That was a whole new thing to me. And I was like, oh my God.
In the locker room. You'd be like, man, only a white person would not use a washcloth with your nasty ass. Like, I heard that for years before that sketch came out. So that one hit close to home. But also there's one scene in that sketch where he's sitting on the toilet reading a People magazine. He goes... Who the fuck is Renee Zellweger? Which is just so, what a brilliant line.
Wasn't it, what's a parsnip? That was one of them. I don't know. It's just like, all right. And like a lot of the think pieces sort of, they make it all society's fault. And they're like, they act like Renee Zellweger is just this helpless victim of our standards of beauty.
Yeah.
And she had no control over anything that she's done.
I just want them to release like a number, like when you order at a restaurant where they don't really expect you to be able to pronounce
number three.
Yeah, where they don't expect you to be able to pronounce the menu items, and you're just like, well, I'll take this one, and you point to a picture, and it's like, well, that one means it's society's fault, and that we are holding women up to an unachievable expectation, and then punishing them when they pursue it, mm-hmm. And they'll be like, yeah, that sounds good.
So you wanted the sad echo of the current zeitgeist? Okay, we can do that.
So then each think piece would just be a series of numbers for,
and they'd be. Presented pictorially, so you could be like, oh, that one comes with noodles.
Well, yeah.
can I add a problematic onto that?
Yeah. No substitution, sorry. So wouldn't that just speed the whole thing up? Isn't that what we're trying to do? Is we're trying to reach a singularity of asininity? Just like a point that its gravity is so powerful that nothing can escape it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that would help, right?
Speaking of which, this week there was that Hasbro... PR quote about their new studio, and I feel like this is a thing that dumb business guys do, where they're so inarticulate that they invent a word to describe a thing that they do because they think it's like this new thing that no one
didn't learn the appropriate word.
Because they didn't actually learn the appropriate word, so they're talking about the what to do, what the advantages of having their own production company. And they're like, oh, we can do our own marketing, our own financing, our own calendarization, blah, 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 blah. And
it's a good word.
That's not a word. Like, that's scheduling. Like, it's like they just they added six syllables that didn't need to be there.
Also, they're making board game movies. So there's some deeper fundamental issues sort of keeping them from really achieving what they should be achieving there.
Yeah.
They should make a Bop It movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Hasbro, right?
I
feel like they made
Bop It.
That might be a Whammo.
That had to be in the works at one point.
That might be a Whammo property.
It might be Whammo.
Fuck.
We got a couple emails. Frockcast. So Nicholas Sparks wrote some show that's shooting where I live, Wilmington, North Carolina, and one of my friends is doing the costume design for it. Apparently, he's as self-serious as you would imagine. One particular detail she let me in on that made me want to crucify him with his own shin bones is that he drives a Bentley with the customized license plate tag of Ryder.
Does that mean no one else can get that?
Well, no one else in North Carolina.
Wow.
It's deep, right?
He does right.
He does. Yeah, he does do that.
It's not an inaccurate license plate.
No.
He had to write that down at the DMV. He had to put those letters down in the little individualized boxes so that they could make the license plate.
And by the way, the show's setting is in the mid-2000s. I assume because life was just more poignant back then. According to my friend, but I think I trust her on this, the scripts are god-awful. She told me the plot, but I mostly forgot it, though I do remember it had something to do with a woman getting abused in the same way her mother had gotten abused years before, but then some guy saves her, or maybe she dies. I think a doc was involved. I may be getting that wrong, but I do know a woman gets beat up.
That sounds about right.
Does he have, like, fun Kincaidian pathos that we can... Because they're only fun when they crack, the staffs and the Kincaids. It's like, it's really only better when the alcoholism gets its little tentacles in there real deep.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the best broadcasts we ever did where we just read his Wikipedia. We read, like, the controversies section of his Wikipedia.
You peed on Mickey Mouse and said, Disneyland can suck a dick.
I mean, he did get sued recently, so it could be the beginning.
For what?
Of his cracking process.
Plagiarism?
Racisms?
He got sued for racism?
It was about his school that he runs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Apparently,
I'm looking for it.
He's the Nicholas Sparks School of Good Writering.
Yeah, that's right.
The Sparks Literary School for Little Darkies.
Well, apparently he's Jesus.
Apparently he's Jesus?
No. Apparently he's a Christian, like a real hardcore Christian, right?
What? That is so unexpected.
And he said something about Jews, too, right?
I just like how I look over at Vince's screen and all I see in like 36-point font is like homophobic anti-Semite and it's TMZ.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They didn't have like too many specific things. It was just sort of.
Well, can you control F Jew for a second? I just want to see what.
Saul Hillel Benjamin claims in a new lawsuit obtained by TMZ he was hired to run the Epiphany School for Global Studies, founded
by
Sparks.
The guy's name is Saul Hillel Benjamin. Mm-hmm. That is for sure the Messiah. Like that. That is damn.
That's like in Wet Hot American Summer where Jeannie Garofalo is just like reading off all the Jewish names, and you can tell she's just improvising at the end. She's just like Scott. Ben Gurion.
Yeah, right.
Benjamin says he began complaining that the author of The Notebook and others, that the school had virtually no African Americans, 2 out of 514 students. Benjamin claims Sparks responded, "Black students are too poor and can't do the academic work."
Wow.
Benjamin also says Sparks got incensed when he met with the NAACP North Carolina chapter, telling the headmaster to, quote, engage only in private and less visible contact with African Americans.
Jeez. I got to stop skimming these and start reading them.
The lawsuit goes on claiming Sparks ignored bullying claims by gay students and even lent support to a student group that wanted to enact a Holocaust.
Okay. They use the word Holocaust?
Come on.
That better not be the anti-Semitic thing, because it's just because it says cost at the end. All right, control F Jew now.
I want a homophone of Holocaust.
It's
on a few different levels. I'll let that sink in for a second.
No. Benjamin says he was fired, and Sparks, who famously wrote The Notebook about a couple's love transcending Alzheimer's, telling others in the school to ignore Benjamin's claims because he was suffering from Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He didn't say ignore that Jew's claim, you know they lie, or something fun.
Scott Schwimmer, Sparks' entertainment lawyer, tells TMZ, as a gay Jewish man who has represented Nick for almost 20 years, I find these allegations completely ludicrous and offensive.
It's almost as if he were paid for those services. I was not commenting on his character on strictly moral terms.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you about, did you read the next project of Renee Zellweger, the...
this again?
No.
Leave her alone, man.
No, but it's not really about...
Squirrel's not even the right animal.
It's not about her. It's this other book, this faith-based book that she's working on.
No. She's writing a faith-based book?
No, she's working on the... She's starring in the adaptation of the book. And the book is called...
Bridget Jones' Diary 3.
The book...
Sorry, God, I'm back.
The book is called Same Kind of Different as Me, a modern-day slave, an international art dealer, and the unlikely woman who bound them together. And
well, bound is not at all a good word for that relationship.
So it's written, it's co-written by this guy Ron Hall, who's supposedly an international art dealer who lives in Dallas. This guy Denver Moore, this black guy who's was an ex homeless man who found Jeebus, and then by the co-author of Heaven Is For Real, you know, where it's like Heaven
Todd
is
Burpo.
No, but it's Todd Burpo with.
Oh,
this chick Lynn
Colton
Vincent.
Burpo. Oh,
and she's also wrote Going Rogue.
Chaz Burpo.
Going Rogue is the Palin.
Yeah,
Caden Burpo.
Didn't she entirely write the Going Rogue?
Braxton with a guess. Y Burpo. Yeah.
Jarnay Burpo.
You mean as opposed to Sarah Palin?
B-R-A-X-X-T-Y-Y-N Burpo, and Burpo spelled with a Y. The Y is silent.
No, it's like it's a U sound, but they put a V in there to make it seem old timey. Like,
yeah.
That could be our indie band, Burpo, with a V in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this book that she's starring in, this is the book description, which is almost like unreadable. A dangerous homeless drifter who grew up picking cotton in virtual slavery. An upscale art dealer accustomed to the world of Armani and Chanel. A gutsy woman with a stubborn dream. A story so incredible no novelist would dare dream it.
But GRU's dream. It's too
double dream, bro.
double dream the American.
Double dream.
Dream.
It begins outside a burning plantation hut in Louisiana, .. and in East Texas honky tonk, ..
So,
and
come
without
on,
a doubt,
it's written like an email from your aunt.
And without a doubt, in the heart of God. It unfolds in a Hollywood hacienda, an upscale New York gallery, a downtown dumpster.
Sherry told us
a
where
Texas
it unfolded.
Ranch.
Has there been a complete sentence yet?
God,
no.
Why are they, it's just
it's a lot of ellipses.
Gritty with pain and betrayal and brutality, this story also shines with an unexpected life-changing love.
I don't know what it's about, and that was like three paragraphs.
Okay, I have a better synopsis of what it's about. This is from the Black Guy's obituary. The unlikely partnership started when Mr. Hall, that's the art dealer, promised his wife, Deborah, that he would do anything she asked the rest of their lives after she forgave him for being unfaithful. Mrs. Hall wrangled her husband into befriending a homeless man she had envisioned.
She had envisioned?
Whoa. Wait, did she create this man
the secreted a magic Negro is what happened. So listen,
she manifested one with her positive energy.
She had a dream about this homeless man who was poor but wise, and by his wisdom, our city would be changed.
Yes!
Mr. Hall said. In 1998, he met Mr. and Mrs. Hall, who had been this guy Denver Moore met Mr. and Mrs. Hall, who had been volunteering for a couple weeks at the Union Gospel Mission.
Hey, do you think in real life they were hunting a black homeless man, where they're just stalking all the shelters and being like,
game.
"Is this the one from the dream? Will he do? Yes, yes.
He's
this
close.
Will solve you for your unfaithfulness."
Denver, the last name is Moore. He's my friend, gonna sell some books.
That's good. Who had been volunteering for a couple weeks at the Union Gospel Mission, looking to find the man in Mrs. Hall's vision. One evening, as they were preparing to serve a meal, a fight broke out as the homeless men left the chapel service.
Come on.
It was total melee and pandemonium, with bodies being tossed, screaming and profanity, Mr.
It
Hall
was
recalled.
Melee and pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
Dot, dot, dot. With, dot, dot, dot.
It was a noun and an adjective at the same time.
Yeah. Those things.
It was simultaneously noun and adjective.
As the table-tossing scrum moved toward him, Mr. Hall crouched behind the serving line, scared and not wanting to get involved. I look up, and all of a sudden, Debbie is jumping up and down with excitement like a cheerleader, he said. She's saying, "That's him! That's him!" At his wife's insistence, Mr. Hall pursued the man for...
Grab him!
Dress him up for me!
Where are you taking me? Make him sing for us!
You're the man from my dreams! God says!
You must be enslaved!
I'm trying to free you! Mr. Hall then pursued the man for 5 months, trying to strike up a conversation.
He ran. Just Jesus. 5 months. I picture him running across green screens with like a mountain in the background. And like all the different
like the David Hasselhoff music video. Yeah.
Finally put her in my well.
God, how much would it suck to be targeted by these psychos where they're just like, "We're going to save you because God sent you to me in a dream." And you're like, "I don't know. Yeah. I'd rather not be part of your sex thing."
It'd be nice to be, you know, wanted though. Just by someone.
Mr. Moore eventually became like part of the Hall family, and shortly before Mrs. Hall's death in 2000, he promised her he would carry on her efforts to help the homeless. Debbie's final words to me were, "Don't ever give up on Denver. God is going to bless your friendship in a way you can never imagine," Mr. Hall said. At her funeral, Mr. Moore stood up before the crowd to pay tribute to her. He said that during more than 25 years on the street, no one had ever stopped to ask his name. Mr. Moore received a standing ovation from more than 1,000 people at the service, and people started making pledges to build a new gospel, Union Gospel Mission. By noon the next day, more than $500,000 had already come in from people who had been at the service, Mr. Hall said. Within 2 years, $12 million was available for construction of a new homeless mission.
Why don't you just build him a house?
No, because they donated. Well, he lived with them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now she's dead.
As was foretold.
Yeah.
As
the prophecy foretold. That's weird.
Yeah, that's
and
really
that's,
weird.
And that's a true story.
Why would you make a movie out of that?
Oh, no. Is this a trailer?
Why are we even talking about this?
Man.
At this point, I never thought I'd be sad
we left the Renee Zellweger
compassion for homeless people. I thought most of them were there because they made bad choices and it was their own fault that they were there. But my wife, Deborah, had a great love for a lot of compassion for the down and outers. And one night she had a dream about a particular homeless man in the inner city of Fort Worth. And in this dream, this was a poor man who was wise, and by his wisdom, our city would be changed. And so she asked me if I would go.
It is kind of like they the secreted themselves in Nicholas Sparks' book, like in real life.
Yeah, right? I do like right, how
sheer force of will.
His default is like, well, I just assume poor people have a moral defect.
Yeah.
It's like his automatic default.
Well, because he's trying to relate
people.
To his pals in Texas.
Right. I do like that his opinion changed because of a dream. It turns out, no, then my wife had a dream about a very wise homeless person. Yeah. And I said, oh, maybe I should change my perspective. It's like, you couldn't have thought of that? You couldn't even consider it?
You know, his wife was having the dream. He was too busy fucking around. He only had to acquiesce to the craziness of the scheme because he fucked somebody else.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, he's never bought in on this. And then he was like,
that's right. This is all penance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah, everyone's a winner.
All right.
I'll go with her into the inner city person. To find this man. And after a couple of weeks, we were feeding the homeless, and I was getting used to the idea. All of a sudden, a big fight.
I was letting him smell my
hand first. Yeah, I want to spook him.
By the way, the guy's sitting next to him during this whole thing.
Oh, really?
He's just not talking.
Broke out in the dining hall, and it wasn't just a shoving match. It was a wild pandemonium of tables overturned and chairs flying and bodies tossed around, and I...
You know, like Sauron when he was fighting all...
it looked like the Battle of Helm's Deep, frankly.
So I'm just wondering if the only reason that no one's bothered... This sold, like, almost 2 million copies of books, by the way. But I'm just wondering...
Oh, dear.
We got to start writing books.
I'm just wondering if the only reason...
I can do this.
...that no one's pulled a million shades of gray, whatever you call it, million little pieces. I wonder if the only reason that no one's pulled a million little pieces on this is because, like, the fact checker was just, like, too busy vomiting.
No, it kills every fact checker that tries to get involved.
Like,
it's like the ring. They're just, They're all twisted in their chairs.
7 days.
Their nose starts bleeding just trying to read the manuscript.
You weren't supposed to bring him home.
The guy is described as an international art dealer whose long list of celebrity clients includes many celebrity personalities. He also has an MBA from Texas Christian University. First of all,
art dealer is not a real job.
No one's an international art dealer.
No one is.
Also, especially a guy who has an MBA from Texas Christian University and decided to like deal international. I think he bought like some paintings for some rich oil dudes. Uh-huh.
Totally. Yeah. He's a sketchy weirdo.
I see you have a BS here. It's a burpo of science.
That's Christian Science, mind you.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there was a bunch of rich oil dudes that he was friends with, and he was like the gay friend, and they were like, "Hey, Ron, what do you know about art?" And he's like, and then he, you know,
it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's my theory. So anyway, the whole book synopsis, if that was true, and they actually manifested their own Nicholas Sparks movie in real life. Yeah. Like, that's kind of impressive.
Well, think about how fucked it is that, like, along that whole line of reasoning, they're like, yeah, so we you know, my wife had a vision of this guy who has an awful life and lives in horrible pain and is like just day to day for his next meal. And guess what? It happened. Yeah. Believe in it.
Yeah.
And he, like, he existed just so we could write his redemption story. Like, it's this very,
he'll be a tool for
does
us.
He start, Caucasian ass. Like,
does he start talking?
White, great white savior mentality.
In the video, does he start talking eventually? Because he just
sitting, no, he just sits there
the entire time.
Yeah, the entire time.
Oh my God.
He doesn't want to go back to the dungeon.
Holy
He's
shit.
Got like the. The chair is, with the sex,
the
with
only,
sex chair.
So this is the description of the audiobook. Switching back and forth in short segments, two narrators portray authors Hall and Moore in memoirs that begin in distant walks of life and intersect in a homeless shelter. In the charming accent of an unschooled black man with a deep, scratchy voice.
Oh, Jesus, it's written like that?
Kill me!
Yeah, narrator Barry Scott recounts Denver Moore's life of hardship and misfortune.
Wait, so he's not... Oh, he didn't even write. It's just the one guy, and he's...
Also, and then the... And then,
oh,
and
he's
then
doing
the cover
black
font,
voice?
The cover font looks like... You know the credits of Precious, where it's like kind of... Yeah. Looks like it's written, you know...
This is some...
Oh, God.
Bleak shit.
Yeah. It is.
Sorry. So I went down that rabbit hole. After the Renee Zellweger thing...
So she's in this movie? She's the wife?
Yeah, she plays the wife that he cheats on. Speaking of which, so Fury ad just came on.
It was a different woman.
a Fury ad just came on during the World Series, and I noticed they have like four quotes from Pete Hammond, like in a row. And I always wonder, do you think it's just, is it just like inertia? Why do they use Pete Hammond quotes? Is there a reason?
What does he write for?
He is just like
money.
Yeah, basically.
Very good.
He's just a shill. Like I said, I've said that it's sort of like asking the polar bear for a quote about Coke. Kind of like it's like you're asking. He's like the mascot. I mean, there's no. He's not really a critic. Like he just sort of exists to provide pull quotes.
He's all movies grandma, and he thinks they're very handsome.
Does he? Yes.
Beep beep
beep beep beep.
Oh, why haven't we talked about CVS bangers yet?
CVS? Like, what's that?
Oh.
Like the drugstore?
Yeah.
Well, I know CVS, but what's bangers?
Oh.
Like, well, they're so potatoes or they're sausages. They're little sausages.
I'm drawing a blank. There's a comedian, and he's put out a bunch of stuff on SoundCloud called CVS bangers. There's volumes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And it's just like crappy soft rock that you'd hear in CVS, but then it's got gunshots and reggae air horns and drops. It's like, the best one is like, 20 minutes into the first CVS bangers, Islands in the Stream comes on, and then there's a guy, and he's just got like the movie announcer voice, and he goes, "Dolly got them titties." I can't believe you guys haven't heard CVS bangers.
Oh, I haven't. What are we hearing right now?
Is that Laramie's on the line?
What's up, you fucking gentlemen?
Hey, hey, buddy, how you doing?
Man, pretty good.
You watching baseball?
Baseball? Who watches that? Communists?
Yeah.
You sound good. Do you have a pop shield like we do?
I got a big dildo, Mike.
Ah, oh, wow.
Good.
Good. Is that what you podcast into while your wife's out of town?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
I pleasure it with my I have a
Oh, error. We just saw an error.
So we're live Friday now.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, people won't be able to listen till after.
They won't know what's
But,
it's going to sync right up. Yeah. Start your DVR now.
Look at his face.
Error!
Look, it's still going.
You think they think that?
Oh, he's so sad. Yeah.
Ooh,
this big, bold print.
Ooh,
error!
Ooh, my bad!
I did not want this.
If people could only see a guy trying to catch.
I pictured this going better.
Sheer terror.
Laramie.
Yes.
How are you?
Oh,
that's a good sound.
Pretty good, I guess.
Did you see Birdman last night?
Birdman. I did.
What's Birdman?
Did you see it?
I sure did.
You guys, is it a like metaphor? It?
Friggin' Birdman, right?
Is it good?
Or is it an analogy?
Is it good?
I think it's the best movie of the year.
Really?
That I've seen.
I like that Keaton.
I liked it. I just don't know that I got it.
What's there to get, man?
That's what I'm saying. Is he a Birdman or not?
Yes. The whole point of you asking is what makes it good, I think.
It's called Birdman.
What are you guys talking about?
It's a movie.
I thought it had a little bit of Mulholland Drive in it.
Really?
Is it a biography of Birdman from Cash Money Records?
Cash Money Records.
What happened to that boy?
Some boy gonna die tonight.
You know what I think it is, Laramie? It's Louis meets Black Swan. That's the movie.
There's definitely Black Swan. Yeah. The two girls make out.
Don't spoil it.
That's Mulholland Drive.
Yeah, and it's, well, because it's Naomi Watts, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that Emma Stone?
Stone, yeah, yeah.
She's got them big old eyeballs.
I love those eyeballs,
but
man.
She's got them Seyfried eyeballs.
She got big old eyeballs.
She got them peepers, bruh. Like, she is hella fine with those peepers.
She got them windows to the soul.
Yeah.
She's got weird teeth. Like, she had too much orthodonture as a young
She got them Busey teeth.
It's tight, though. She got those big-ass chompers. Those
she never eats, dude.
Peepers.
Hey, are we in a safe place?
I think so.
Can I be honest right now?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm making coffee in the morning, I'll push the little spout thing down. Yeah. And press the coffee, and I'll make the Matt Lieb. She got that pussy. I don't know why it happens then, but it always
while
happens
you're
then.
Making coffee,
under my breath that pussy she as I push it down.
So, if you guys don't know, the whole movie is one shot. One shot.
How long is it?
That's too bad, really.
Yeah,
but it's not really too bad. One shot.
Oh.
It's too good.
Yeah?
You mean like that... Wasn't that...
Volcano. No, that wasn't...
Richard Linklater movie?
Apparently they do that Slacker. In Rope. I don't remember Rope.
This
do you?
This is a message for Emma Mm-mm. Stone.
Oh, shit.
Emma, I just wanted to let you know
Jim
that...
Carrey.
I think you're all the way beautiful.
Hmm.
Not
thanks.
Just pretty, but, you know, smart and kind-hearted. And if I were a lot younger, I would marry you.
What
And we would have chubby little freckle-faced kids. Laugh all day long, go camping, and play Yahtzee. And
fuck.
Wait, hold on. What's happening right now? This is a...
It's Jim Carrey.
Tell ghost stories by the fire.
Yeah, but... And the joke is...
And the sex...
You forget punchlines. You forget punchlines as you get older. I think that's what I've gotten.
I don't say we played this for the first time on the Frogcast a long time ago, and I said this would be way funnier if he was talking out his ass like an Ace Ventura. Yeah. And like the next fucking day, one of our listeners cut together a YouTube clip of Ace Ventura talking out his ass with this sound over it, and it was brilliant. And I wish I remembered your name because you deserve kudos. Sir or ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I have never seen this. What's happening? Is this
like,
real?
It was like over a year ago.
He's just getting real.
He's experimenting with the new medium and he's failing at it.
Yeah.
He's failing at it pretty miserably.
Wait a second. Was that meant to be seen by everyone? Or?
Yeah, yeah. See, he was trying the faux earnesty thing where it's sort of a confessional and he's just... forgetting to make it funny at all.
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It seemed too real. People took him too much at face value.
Yeah. Okay,
and
so
they
it
thought,
was.
Oh, this is sad.
Yeah,
oh,
but so... it, no, it's even more sad
it was a
if
joke.
You're thinking it about it as a joke that's failing. Because if it's real earnest, yeah, that's sad. But if he's trying to be real earnest and failing at that, that's two levels of failure.
He was trying to be earnest, but he ended up being more earnest, goes to camp.
Yeah. Yes.
And double meaning with camp. Double meaning with camp.
Yeah, that pussy. Yeah, eat that pussy. You like that pussy. You eat that pussy. And then you get coffee.
Yeah. All I want out of life is pussy and coffee and making money. That's why they call me Pussy Coffee Meanie. Pussy Coffee Meanie. Eat all the pussy and make all that meanie.
From the year.
Drink all the coffee and eat some Greek yogurt. Chobani. Coffee. Pussy Coffee Meanie. I am a rapper. Pussy Coffee Meanie. Hey, Laramie.
How's it going, bud?
It's good.
Do you have anything to add, Laramie?
Well, it wants to record Franklin and Bash and Top Chef, so I'm going to have to turn off the game, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Come on. Bummer. Because it's a good
one. That's three shows.
I can't do three. I don't have the hopper.
I like the UDVR Franklin and Bash.
He's got a DVR Franklin, and he's got a DVR Bash, and he's got a DVR Top Chef.
And what is that? Rizzoli? Oh, wait.
Franklin and Bash is a repeat. What am I thinking?
And Isles.
Okay, so are any guys watching Top Chef besides me and Laramie?
No.
Nope. No.
But well, we are.
God. Laramie, have you noticed? Do you watch a lot of other food TV?
I'm team anti-cooking contest show.
Top Chef's the only one worth watching.
Right. I agree with that.
Chopped is fucking garbage.
Chopped has gotten terrible. It's always hard to watch now. Terrible show. I will say this. Having watched a lot of cooking competitions, I think they've run out of chefs, because at least like four or five people on Top Chef this season I've seen like on Chopped or Beat Bobby Flay or one of those shows.
Hmm.
The Asian chick has been in some other thing. The fat guy with the thing on his head.
Oh, yeah. I know those guys.
Anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Got that pussy.
Pussy coffee meanie.
Is that from anything or just your head?
It's just happening right now, man.
You should. That could be a restaurant name.
Yeah,
that's just his life.
That's just what I'm about. Chobani.
Do you get in trouble if you bring that up outside of the official?
I don't really know.
If you're being viral outside of their channels, are you going to get in trouble?
For sure.
What if you started? What if you just started like giving shout outs to Faye?
Yeah,
I was like,
what have you been spending the Chobani money on?
Eat that Faye.
Okay. First of all, I have not received the Chobani money, but It's a matter of time.
You're going to be rocking the Chobani money.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah, so checks in the mail. But
hey, girl, I got that yogurt money.
Check it out. And I got that yogurt coffee. Pussy coffee meanie. Pussy coffee meanie. Meanie meanie.
Did it go viral? Is it viral?
No, it didn't go viral.
This is a question for Laramie and for everybody.
And for the group.
So if Birdman is not the best movie that you saw this year, what is?
Shit, I don't know.
Lego Movie?
I haven't seen that yet.
Was Lego Movie this year?
Was really good.
Yeah.
I like Fury quite a bit, but I mean Birdman's really? Definitely up there.
Fury sucked a fat dick. That was terrible. I hated that. Did you hate it? I hated it.
But you love the Germans.
I don't love the Germans. It's just that
I thought the battle parts were amazing, and then everything else.
No, was everything bad. Was stupid.
Did you guys get what it was about? That war is not fun.
Yeah, I got that pretty much immediately.
First of all, super bad.
I spent the whole movie waiting for there to be a reason that Shia LaBeouf took his teeth out and scarred his face. Yeah, no, I honestly thought there was going to be a good reason. I realized, holy shit, he didn't have to do that to himself.
Did you end up seeing it, Brendan?
No, I never did.
Oh.
Don't. It's stupid bad. It is so bad.
Wow.
Okay, one slight spoiler alert.
I'm kind of like a history dork, so I'll see like pretty much any sort of like
as a history dork
or like military history dork. So right. Like a war movie. Like I'll watch that.
So I can watch a tank battle, you know, for 10 hours. Like I love watching a tank battle. That was awesome. But all right, so the part where Brad Pitt he's just like pushing this German that they captured around and like trying to goad Shia LaBeouf into killing the guy.
Wow.
And then he does, like, in front of a whole crowd of Americans. I don't know. I didn't find that believable. I didn't think that happened.
He wasn't goading Shia LaBeouf. He was goading
the other guy. But it happened with Brad Pitt, actually.
Oh yeah, Brad Pitt killed a guy.
He killed a man just yeah,
you
like
don't
that.
Think they executed
but
prisoners, or
no, the person in his grasp was actually like, Kieran Culkin.
They executed prisoners, like, you know, they went up and shot the guy. I don't think there was a commanding officer that was like smacking around one of his underlings, being like,
this "Come on, was pussy! War.
Come on, pussy! Let's do it!" And then like there was like 100 guys around, like goading him into it, doing it.
Honestly, I was okay with that. Like, I could believe that happened. I could suspend my disbelief to say, "Yeah, sure, I bet that happened at some point." What I can't is them being alone in a tank for like long
and
enough.
Not fucking. Oh, sorry. Wait.
Yeah, and not fucking. No, here's the thing. Ever since Saving Private Ryan, I thought we were done with war movies where after someone gets killed, they're like the war stops for
right,
a little.
Yeah, I hated that.
So that everyone can mourn. It's like Saving Private Ryan was awesome because I was like, this is the first time I've seen a war movie where like mourning and the war stopping doesn't happen. It's just like someone gets shot. Doesn't matter if they're a main character. That's what war is, and it's brutal like that.
He does the Zach Morris Saved by the Bell timeout thing when he does.
True, and he talks right to the screen.
Yeah, so it's okay.
War's
no, they
not
definitely
fun.
Did that. They had time for big expository speeches after throwing a grenade.
It was so annoying.
But man, I still liked it. I liked it.
Oh, God. You know what? I think I have a really high standard for movies that I actually pay for. And and so, like, when I go to see
a
movie...
So higher than the Linkin Park movie?
There's a Linkin Park movie?
Well, a movie
Matt,
made...
Tell him.
And I'm about to break!
All right, so... Close enough.
Having Matt around's great because I just... Like, people will be like, hey, you want to interview this person? I'm like, fuck no. Hey, Matt Lieb, you want to interview this person?
All right, so here's...
And he's all like, wide-eyed, and he's like, oh, sure, I'll interview him.
Come and see my film.
All right.
The tickets, they are free.
All right. Fear is how I fall. The movie I saw was called Maul. It was directed by a guy named...
And I'm about to shoot.
No, all right. Wrong. All right. Wait. One step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break. Is that Linkin Park?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
right.
Their first one. Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
I'm all about the nookie.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was.
It was this movie. It put my tender hard in the blender.
It's a different guy.
Like a chump. Hey. Like a chump. Hey. All right. Like a chump. Hey.
Anyways,
I've become like a chainsaw, so numb.
I'll skin your ass raw. What? My thing keeps going this way. Just like, break your fucking face tonight.
Don't want to be an American idiot.
Let's just do all the songs that have ever existed.
Broken home.
Oh, God damn it.
No one stopped Papa Roach. We had the opportunity and we let it proceed. Somebody could have stood up and said, no more.
I've always said that I feel the same way about Limp Bizkit that the Germans must have felt about Nazism.
Yeah.
Someone should have stopped this. Yeah. Someone should have said, no, Fred Durst.
Well,
too far.
Yeah.
It's too late, and new metal happened, and I saw a Linkin Park movie. So, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, tell us about it.
All I could say about it.
So, who was the guy that directed it?
Joseph Hahn. No, he's DJ.
Lincoln Park. Chester Bennington.
He was the DJ of Linkin
Park.
He's
the DJ.
He was the guy who did the scratchy scratches. Yeah. And he directed.
That's got to be the worst pickup line ever.
Yeah, I do the scratch.
I was
scratch.
The DJ for Linkin Park. What?
Yeah,
you may remember me from such things as.
So the movie was Maul. It was about it's about nothing. It's about a guy who goes on a mall shooting, but it's not really about him. It's more about this kid who's like an adolescent who is in love with. This girl, but...
Is she the amorphous you?
No, because she's... Because
there's got to be a catch-all you.
No.
Because they're mad at something.
Have fun at Hot Topic. I'll see you at Food Court.
All right. It doesn't matter. The point is I saw this really terrible movie, and then I had to do a phone interview with the guy. I mean, I didn't have to. And to be honest...
You bet you felt bad.
I wanted to, because I was like, I want to talk to a guy from Linkin Park. But now I'm in this position where I've written down some of the stuff that he's said, and now I have to turn it into a goddamn a thing. And the guy keeps asking, so when's that story gonna come out? And I'm like, I really don't want it to come out. But
I do.
Yeah, I know you do. But it's just here's the thing:
a triple play, a stolen base. Oh. Come on, Marlins, make us proud.
Why do I even try?
Sorry, continue.
It doesn't matter.
I'm at Yankee Candle. Right. Hey, wet seal, buy some jorts.
I'm fucking done with you guys. First, you tricked me into seeing Maul. You tricked me into liking Linkin Park for long enough to want to interview the DJ. Now I got to write this article.
Over the phone, too.
Yeah. And not
over
only.
Phone! Over phone!
It doesn't really matter.
Did you guys talk forever? Like you were the only one who agreed to do that?
No, we talked for 30 minutes, and then towards the end. towards the end, I said, I think I have a couple more questions, and then we're done. And then this voice butt in, and I guess it was like the person who set up the interview, and she's like, yeah, because he has a lot of interviews to
he
go.
Does not have a lot of interviews.
Yeah, so make sure that this is the last question.
And, yeah.
And do you ask, like, all right, so this is going to be a 10-parter.
Yeah, right.
No, so what's your next movie?
I didn't ask him about that. I asked him, about what if the movie was a statement about violence? He was like, yeah, totally. Like, he was sure. He was a very nice guy. I have to admit, yeah, when I would ask him these questions, he was like, sure, whatever. Whatever you want to get out of it, man.
Did he have to go because his mom needed to use the phone?
What key were you scratching in Crawling in My Skin?
Yeah. I mostly just asked him, like, how did you feel about that scene where Vincent D'Onofrio gets raped? And he was like, well, it was a pretty powerful scene. I was like, it really was.
Vincent D'Onofrio gets raped in it?
Yeah, he gets raped by this girl.
Vincent D'Onofrio's in the Linkin Park Guys movie?
Not only that, he produced it. He found the script. What? He helped write the script.
What?
It's like, it really changes the way I think about Vincent D'Onofrio in a totally non-BuzzFeed way. Like, it really made me rethink.
It's one surprising thing you may not know
about Vincent D'Onofrio. He has terrible taste in scripts.
How long did
doctors
that
hate Vincent D'Onofrio?
Did you have to go away to like a retreat in the mountains to rethink your conception of Vincent D'Onofrio?
I did. Rethink it.
Guys, I'm not going to be around for a while. Yeah. I just need to like start from scratch with old Vincy D.
Yeah.
He pulled a private pile on private pile. He was like in this room cleaning his gun all sullen all of a sudden.
Isn't he in Law and Order now? Isn't that what
criminal
he
intent
for?
Criminal intent. Well, anyways, guys, that's the end of the podcast. I want to thank Laramie.
Wait, did you just sign off of all podcasts? Yeah. Like you ended the medium? Like,
goodbye.
And
eat beans.
That's it.
That's what you say, right? Goodbye and eat the beans.
Matt, I want to tell you that article is going to get so many clicks. Yeah, so it's worth it.
Oh, it's going to get no clicks because no one gives a shit.
No, it's going to be the Linkin Park fanboys are going to suddenly learn how to read.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be huge.
I think one of the I'm a horrible interviewer. One of the questions I asked was like, so you used to like hang out in a lot of malls?
You would have been way better off making up that interview, to be totally honest.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, and I think if I made it up, I could actually make him sound like he said some really great shit. And I don't think they'd be like, hey, listen, he didn't say all these smart things. And that way I could rethink malls. You know, I could rethink asking him that question.
Crawling in My Skin.
What's this?
They're like a fish pearl that's flying home to America. Let's play
boys game day. This is not. We want
shit. This song honestly cheers me up.
Let's play ball to. Space hits double
play. Wait, this is a real song. This is a song we pick up.
No, this is a song that Scott Stapp wrote for the Marlins, like on his own. They were like, "No, we're not going to use this because."
Wow, they turned
it sounds
down.
Terrible.
No, thank you, Scott Stapp.
Gotta wait for the second. Though he doubles down on the baseball.
It's like somebody took magnets, like the fridge magnets of inspirational nouns, and then baseball words, and they
hear
just
more.
Okay, the second verse is even better.
Shut the fuck up.
One strike, two strikes, swing away.
Oh no!
A diving catch, a stolen base. A perfect game, a triple play.
That was the sound of a bad ball.
This is like if someone said something about Scott Stapp writing a song for the Marlins, and then we just riffed on it.
Yeah.
Your whole BRA, your dream base player, batter's box and dugouts too.
I never believed in sabermetrics.
In a much longer hot dog than usual. Seven thinning believe. Yeah.
Okay, so it's called Marlins Will Soar, and part of me wonders if he thinks a marlin is a bird.
It's also a good question.
He can't stop writing the same song.
With a little faith.
He wants to. He really wants to write a song about baseball, but he can't stop writing. Okay. So, arms wide open over and over again.
If his lyrics weren't like a bad beer commercial, that song would be kind of rad.
It's a 6-4-3 double play.
I forgot about the infamous internet wasn't worth it video, and I watched it again the other day.
Yeah.
Wait, what's man, the, I laughed my ass
the
off.
The internet what wasn't worth it? What is that?
It's a
yogurt commercial.
Someone.
Fuck you, bro. So what happened was Vince.
Vince
just suddenly played "Arms Wide Open" by Creed, and we were talking about something else. I think this is the beginning of Gamergate.
Oh yeah.
I think it was the very beginning of Gamergate.
Before it had a hashtag.
Before it had a hashtag, and Brett just goes, "Guys, I don't think the internet was worth it." And it was like right as like the beginning, like that ascending bass line, like boom, 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 boom. And I said, this is like the end of Fight Club. And then someone like just basically did that whole thing. And when he looks over and goes, "Marley met me at a weird time in my life," they dubbed in Brett's voice.
Oh,
and it was perfect. It was so good.
I got to see that.
Also, extra frat points to whoever did that.
Yes.
That was like an amazing. That was amazing.
We should make really dumb merit badges.
Yeah.
And if you earn enough frat points, you should get a prize, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some girl chokes you out and spits in your face.
Oh. That's like for if you have at least 20.
Yeah, 25 points at least.
Mm. So no one answered my question.
What was it?
Laramie.
Yeah.
So if Birdman, I think, is my favorite film so far this year, but I have a couple other possibilities. If that's not it, what's yours? What is it?
If you go follow Mall Movie right now, you'll get him over 1,600 followers.
What?
Mall Movie?
Yeah. Oh,
that's great. Anyway.
Wait, we talked about Fury because of me. So. Okay. But don't act like I'm not contributing.
That's your
here.
Favorite film of the year?
No, I liked Boyhood. I like Coffee Town. Equalizer.
What's Coffee Town?
Yeah, exactly. What isn't Coffee Town, motherfucker? It's on HBO.
Oh, okay.
It's got the kid from It's Always Sunny. Not Charlie Day, though. The Dennis.
Oh, Dennis. Yeah, I did see. I saw something about that. I never saw it, though.
It made me laugh. Made me giggles.
I think Boyhood's up there. I think Nightcrawler's top. Top
five. I haven't seen Nightcrawler yet.
Preview looks good.
Nightcrawler's being creepy. Real good.
Yeah.
I like Locke. I want that Locke.
I liked it, but it wasn't.
That's a B.
You see John Wick?
I haven't seen John Wick.
Oh.
Isn't the premise of the movie they kill his dog?
Yeah.
That's awful.
That's what I liked about it. I love the drop because they're always threatening to kill the dog, but they're like, nope, the dog lives.
Not in this one. This one has a great line though with John Leguizamo, and they steal John Wick's car, kill his dog, and then they go like try and trade it into the chop shop or whatever to get a new VIN. Mm-hmm. And Leguizamo's like, "Get the fuck out of here! You know whose car that is?" And he punches the dude in the face, and the little dude's Theon, by the way, from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
Alfie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so his dad calls, like, "I heard you struck my son," and he goes, "Well, yeah, sir, I did that." He's like, "Do you want to give me a reason why?" He's
Theon
like,
"Theon Greyjoy calls him."
Yeah, no. Leguizamo calls the dad of Theon, and he goes, "Well, sir, he stole John Wick's car and killed his dog." And the villain goes, "Oh," and hangs up.
That's pretty good. That's good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it was a nice line.
Yeah,
which I ruined.
So you haven't seen Nightcrawler yet, but I think Gyllenhaal is pretty much a lock for best actor.
Keaton's got it, dude.
Keaton, it's. It's not that he did a great job in that, but I think that would be kind of like a sympathy.
Keaton's got it.
They totally love doing that.
Yes.
You know, semi patronizing, like give the old guy the shot.
Correct. That's why Keaton's winning.
Yeah, but I think straight acting wise, I think Gyllenhaal blows.
Wow, straight acting wise, homophobic, you fucking bastard.
Oh, yeah.
I thought. Watch should get a nomination. I thought
Which
Stone
one?
Should get a nomination.
Oh, who? What?
Naomi Watts? Emma Stone?
Oh, you're just starting. You're talking about girls now. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I thought. I even liked the alternate girlfriend, whatever her name was.
Yeah, she's good. She should get an award for her nipples.
They were good nipples.
They were.
I liked them. I like to lick them.
What about you guys? Pigs. Favorite movie this year?
I did not like movies.
My favorite movie was that one movie about Manny Pacquiao. I don't know. What did I see this year?
Don't remember.
I just rewatched Godfather 2. So that was my favorite movie.
Cool, cool.
Jeez.
I probably Boyhood was my favorite.
Boyhood's definitely.
I haven't seen it.
Top five,
but
for sure.
I know it'll be my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Is that fair?
If you don't cry, I will.
I'm for sure gonna cry, dude. I cry for fun in movies. Like
I had a hard time not crying at St. Vincent. Does that make me like a terrible loser?
No, I mean I haven't seen it, but probably not.
So Brendan, favorite? Have you seen enough? Do you have a favorite this year?
No.
I mean, it's October already. You could have, like, some kind of favorite.
Did the Lego movie count? Is that this year?
Yeah, that counts.
That was really
I don't
good.
Remember what
that.
I've seen in
good.
Theaters. I mean, I guess Guardians of the Galaxy, but I didn't love it.
It was
good.
Yeah.
It was not good, subpar. Like,
I don't know if
for
there's,
a
like...
a fucking best of list? Yeah, it should not make
oh,
a best
on my,
of list.
It's
yeah,
not subpar for a best of. It's pretty great.
It was... I don't know. It's good.
I still need to see... You guys like Snowpiercer, right?
I like Snowpiercer.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd make the list, though.
Really?
I don't think it'd make the list. I thought it was nutty in a good way.
Yeah. It's worth watching, but...
I feel like I think I'm going to like it, but I don't know for sure.
You yeah. never know. That one's a polarizing one.
Yeah.
It's pretty so good. Let's go there.
Let's take their booze and put them in a train. We have a question from the panel, a.k.a. email.
Hello, panel.
Dear Frogcast, I am a horrible godless gay, and main thing I took away from Gone Girl is one, thank God I am gay, and two, girl nipples. They are so goddamn big, like dinner plate big. And is that a good thing? I honestly do not understand that. I mean, do your thing, but like, ugh, gross. Is there an excuse for this, or is it just a straight gay thing I will never understand? Well, speaking for me personally...
But that's the same thing as like a guy who's got a big butt nipples. Lap.
I think right. the puffy nipples. Like when
I
some,
had big nipples.
Someone weighed in.
I did too.
That's true. You guys do both have some big nipples.
I have very tiny nipples.
Yeah.
He's got dimes. Very... He's rocking dimes at best.
Which I think looks good for me, you know.
Quota dollars.
One of my friends talked about what's her face? Emily Ratajkowski in Gone Girl and was like, oh, but she's got those puffy nipples. And I like wanted to shake them by the lapels and be like, man, that's the best part. What are you talking about?
You are a strong proponent for the puffy nipples. If you were a politician and you had one thing to stump,
puffy nipple platform.
Right, that would sure be,
Well,
there was just a lot of areola, don't you think? Like a lot of surface area.
Yeah, but see, the thing is like usually guys don't have the big areolas, so when the girl has them,
hers are like remarkably huge.
Yeah, I would agree. They were really, really big.
No, I don't think they are.
No, they definitely are.
No, no.
I think they're just right.
Yeah.
I've seen a fair amount of breasts in my day. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life.
I mean, mostly on dogs.
Three. I've seen three.
I haven't.
Three individual boobs.
Don't make fun of me.
That's a hella titty.
But wouldn't this be like us not liking some guy's butt labia?
What?
Yeah.
I don't think butts have labias.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Are you talking about hemorrhoids?
I think the benefit...
I've seen a fair amount of butts, guys.
I think the attraction of a large areola or a puffy nipple is you're like, well, it's obviously something that's kind of like a feminine thing because like guys
don't usually have that.
So it's sort of like an extra girl thing. It's kind of like when I look at foot fetish guys, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, but
you
then know, when you're actually sucking a foot.
Feet. She got that extra toe.
I'm super into just sucking whole feet. Like put all the toes in
heel,
my mouth.
Heel first, baby.
Now, for real though, you guys don't suck toes?
I was walking around my house and like just tidying up and I'm reading my phone. I'm reading this like Christian explanation for how fisting someone is holy. And I had to stop and be like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? How the fuck did I end up here?
How did you?
There's some sort of weird rationalization for
that.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And it's all based on the fist of God.
I've definitely seen one that was like, I think I got linked on like Gorilla Mask or something, but it's like this very hardcore Christian thing where it's like, you have to be married, but
yeah,
your wife
yeah,
totally has to swallow.
Yeah.
Because there's like a bunch of like passages of Jesus
talking about behind that.
Like drinking the water of life.
Yeah. Oh, that's
very,
good.
Very loosely interpreted that you should punch God into your wife.
Right.
And slip it from your palm. Like a dry desert.
Soaking up rain, soaking up.
Here's one thing I don't like.
I mean, if you're married, you should swallow.
Hey, Lieb, remember when we saw Danzig in concert? He's like, we're about to play a song, Bullet. Yeah. The mayor of Dallas said if we ever come back to the city, he's going to have us arrested. And I thought about that later. I'm like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, totally outside his jurisdiction.
First of all.
Also, it's probably like the mayor of Dallas in like 1987.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
He's dead
1977.
For sure, the mayor of Dallas is no longer the mayor of Dallas. Yeah.
Is that because of blowjobs? How did that?
No, because Bullet, which is all about like Kennedy, and it's pretty
Texas
like,
is a rezone. Yeah. That president's dead.
You gotta suck, Jackie, suck.
President's bullet red about in the street.
Red, Johnny, red.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
It is.
This is an outstanding punk rock song.
Yeah.
All right, so. So not a lot of movies being seen across the panel this year. That's what I got from this one.
But you know
we
what?
We have another question. Oh, actually, I have a clip.
You should play it.
I do. This is San Francisco specific.
Okay.
Apparently, I just heard about this today.
Apparently, someone on a tour bus was quitting, and she just decided to go out in a blaze of anti-Chinese sentiment.
Oh no!
As you do. I mean, if you're going to go out messing with
all these people walking down the street every day. I can't even get home at night. Fuck your preschools and your little preschoolers making all that noise at 6 in the morning when I was trying to live here.
Six
fuck your salons.
Morning.
Fuck your little herb gardens. Fuck your little seafood fucking markets with your turtles and your frogs seafood. Inside, okay? Okay, when you come to America, you gotta assimilate a little bit. And here in America, we don't eat turtles and frogs.
I think we invented eating turtles and frogs. Yeah, that was a Cajun thing, wasn't
it? That's like a bayou.
I guess it was the French.
Oh, no, though. She's...
But they gotta bring that here to America, okay? There's a limit, okay? You gotta assimilate a little bit, Chinatown. Fuck your laundry hanging out the windows. Fuck your three or four people inside each one of your little SROs, okay? Ooh. Fuck your noise. Fuck your parades.
Here's the craziest
part
coming up.
Fuck your dragons. Fuck this shit. Fuck Chinatown, okay? Fuck them. All
right? There's people that applauded. That was crazy.
Who's clapping for that?
To be fair, a lot of tourists who did not quite understand.
I'm Gary from Fremont.
I applaud this. Gary from Fremont was certainly there.
Hey, this is Gary from Fremont. If you aren't
I was on a bus the other day, and this woman, you know, she was quitting, but she was telling me that she didn't like the Chinese. And for the first time in a while, this is Gary from Fremont. For the first time in a while, I felt like I'd actually heard something that I agree with.
I love the character because it's as if he's interrupting himself, where we all jump in and
this
is Gary from Fremont.
He can't stop. He can't stop.
We are all Gary from Fremont. It's like Spartacus.
Yeah.
I'm
Gary from Fremont.
I am Gary from Fremont.
I am Gary from Fremont.
Why do all bus sound systems sound like Fisher Price?
I want you guys to know I'm horse tail and your fucking ginseng. Fuck your little hair salons where nobody in there knows how to fucking speak.
Oh, she's still going.
After the applause break.
Fuck this bullshit. Fuck your Chinatown gates. Fuck your little bark.
Well, I think she got a little. She got too.
Fuck.
She got overconfident because of the applause.
Yeah.
Could she not get off the bus? Is the bus still driving?
Stop your building here, which is fucking up traffic for the entire neighborhood. Okay. Fuck your Chinatown gates. Fuck your jade. Nobody wears jade anymore.
She's clowning on jade.
You're not supposed to do that when you yell.
Get further away from the mic when you yell. Fuck.
I don't like it when he yells at us.
It's okay that he yells, but it's like he gets closer.
I don't like it when you yell.
It's impossible for me
to get
him at it.
Ass purses and your knockoff ass fucking suitcases and your t-shirts. Fuck you. Fuck you, Chinatown. All right. Not only, we have a Chinatown in my hometown of Los Angeles.
My hometown
comes out.
Way cleaner, way better restaurants.
Yeah.
Not as many people. This is a horrible place to live. If you are considering moving to San Francisco, although this is the cheapest neighborhood, do not live here. I have learned my lesson. These people wake you up at 6 in the morning.
6 in the morning.
She's right, though. Fuck Jade.
I like Jade. I like the movie,
that's,
too.
That's because you a bitch. You about that Jade life. I'm about that pissy coffee. Mean.
Oh, it's indeed. We want strikeouts, big streets, double wins. Take the field, hear the roar.
Come on, keep going.
Oh, I know. It's his turn. No,
pissy coffee, many. Many to body is pissy.
All right, I'm done.
Life's just a field of choice.
Hey, that's deep, though.
Think about it. Think about it.
You know, all I ask is that you guys saw like 2 movies this year.
All right, I've seen some movies this year.
I've seen like
just 60. Name. Okay,
you just haven't seen good ones. All right,
yeah, I just haven't.
Actually, begin December.
I saw the Nickelback movie.
There's not a. That's not a
Come
thing.
On,
There's
that's
no,
not a real thing.
Let's just can we cut the shit. There's no fucking Linkin Parks. Nope. Linkin Parks not a band. Okay, well. Right? It's an urban legend.
No, it's real.
And they try and trick you.
And they make you call them on the phone.
Yeah.
And then Lincoln, mom picks
Lincoln
up the
Parks. You got sounds Lincoln like Punk, a son. Vine star. Lincoln Parks.
I love that that's going around right now because
what is
fuck teenagers? What? They're just everyone's making fun of the Vine kids.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is that what that was? Yeah. Right, so there was like some.
So
Rain, sort of Rain
Wilson is like producing a TV, half-hour TV show with like some convicted rapist and his buddy Purpa Drink. And these are like, you
that's
know,
a real thing.
Yeah.
What?
So that second that, you know, the weird Twitter's having a field day with it. And it's pretty hilarious because they're just making up fake Vine stars. Yeah. And
they're all
shitty
like
suburban
Scott,
lives.
Scott, yeah. Caden Scott.
Yeah.
Chad was just but like C-H-H-A-A-D. Yeah.
But so cool shirtman.
Cool shirtman. Oh.
Curb blurbs.
Chad.
Chad.
But so the tough part about this humor is that the real shit is just as ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought Purpa Drink was something they made up.
No, it's a real person. A person chose that.
Yeah, so then someone was like, hey, here's a poster. Everyone have fun with this. And someone's like, okay. And they just repost the exact same photo.
Yeah.
And it was like, derp lurps.
They were all really great.
We have another question. Oh, not a question so much as a comment. Forgot to mention, having studied history for the last 6 years, I have input on the weird MMA Jesus thing. The athletic bent of American Christianity goes back about 100 to 150 years, depending on the sect. It has waxed and waned repeatedly. Though Brett is right about the violence, the athletic aspect is uniquely American. All of the Protestants arriving in America were obsessed with health to different degrees, and this vein is consistent. Fun fact, graham crackers were made to stop you from masturbating, so was breakfast cereal in general. I didn't know that. It's the
cornflakes,
yeah. The exercise part began in the American West at the turn of the century. That area had a tendency to recruit weirdly intense Christians, whole other story to that, and they got the idea that being true to the Old Testament meant being ripped like Jesus. On an entirely unrelated note, this was also when America was inventing the concept of eugenics. So the fitness thread was in vogue everywhere. The churches just ran hard with it. Appreciated that.
Yeah.
So be true to your testament.
Is that a Beach Boys thing?
Yeah, good job, bud.
Yeah, I knew that.
Sweet.
Okay, so we got another question. Hello, Frogcasters.
Hello.
Can we rehash the discussion of the monkey scoop versus other wet methods of ass wiping for a moment?
I'm sitting on my couch and I lean over and I'm like, honey, what are your thoughts on poop removal technique?
Who are you talking to?
This is my wife.
My wife.
My wife.
God.
I got further away.
I did what you guys said.
You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah.
Don't wait till he says it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, Vince and I are strong proponents of the monkey scoop.
That's right. You lift your balls up, you reach in front.
Yeah.
You don't have to get up off the seat.
Yeah. And not, so in order of things that make sense, monkey scoop number one makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Then the cheek lift, which I think is dangerous as shit.
Brendan, are you a cheek lifter? I forget.
Yeah, I'm a cheek lifter.
And then finally the stand up, because gross, you're getting poop all over your butt.
Yeah,
cheeks.
You make your butt. cheeks and go back together. And
it turns out, girls don't have any fucking idea that what you're talking about, and are a little weirded out that that has to be a decision made as to how to teach your male child.
Why they don't stand, or they don't, they just sit down?
Apparently, it is universally taught how to poop.
What
I don't know what it is.
Is it like a monkey scoop with labias?
I don't know what it is.
She wouldn't tell you. It's like the three seashells.
I don't know.
Wait a second. You guys don't stand up to wipe your ass?
No.
No, that's gross.
No, you stand up, it makes your butt cheeks go back together.
Yeah, and then you
and squish the poop.
Yeah.
Laramie?
Why would you stand up? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, are you a monkey scooper too?
I don't know what that is, but I definitely don't stand up.
So do you go
forward and get your balls out of the way?
Do you lift your balls and go underneath the front, or do you go? Okay, all right. Yeah.
Because
a lot of guys. Because
then you get your asshole is pristine by the end.
This is crazy. I think I've been fucking up wiping my ass for a while.
Well, no, in high school.
Well, usually I stand up.
What the fuck?
I stand up and then I spread my ass cheeks apart.
So you reach into the side.
But how do you do that with one hand?
Well, with both hands.
But you have to wipe.
Just wiping it on the drapes.
No, and then he uses the roll of toilet paper. He sits on the roll of toilet paper and he sings a little song. You gotta sing the song.
No, we're talking about taking a shit, right?
Yeah.
The way I take a shit is I'm standing. pull my butt cheeks apart,
and I make like an eagle sound, like a flying, like a
scream. No, we can't do comedy this way. I want a real answer of how you wipe your ass.
For real, I don't stand, but I do take one butt cheek.
You lift one butt cheek off the seat.
Well, off the seat,
okay. And you go around from behind.
I go from behind.
Okay.
And
that's weird.
That's common. That's very common. I found.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of, but that's so dangerous because you've got like a single axis that all, you could fall in any direction.
Right. So this
slide the seat off, it cuts your nuts off.
This came,
and then your nuts fall in the toilet.
This came back up this week because there was a Reddit post about this guy who had apparently never put the seat down when he shat. Like he'd always just been sitting on the under seat and never knew that guys also use the toilet seat because he was like buying a toilet. And somehow it came up where like girls putting the seat down, and he's like, "Yeah, if my wife wasn't there, I wouldn't even have like a toilet seat." Like,
wait a minute,
the salesman just looked at him like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And it was at that point he realized that he'd been shitting wrong his entire life.
Yeah,
and
this is learned stuff. I found out the hard way.
Wrong shitter.
I pantomimed wiping my ass in high school, and everyone looked at me like, "What the fuck did you just do?" And I was like, "What is that? Is that wrong?
Wait, how did
but
you?
But I stuck with it.
How
and it
did
turns
you
out, I monkey scoop.
Monkey scoop.
Yeah.
See, I think I go from behind now because then you're moving the poop away from you.
Yeah, but anything that involves standing up off the seat involves squishing the poop back together, in my mind.
And so here's the thing, though.
Not necessarily. Listen.
Well, I just got a big pair of butt cheeks, and if
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to have to like reposition after I poop. I want access to the poop to clean the poop off.
The issue you guys are having is that like your butt cheeks apparently close together and then
narrow butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know about you, dog, but my butt cheeks stay together when I don't stand.
Yeah. First of all, 100. my butt cheeks they don't get much poop on them. But not only that, but also you got to really learn to prolapse your anus. Like you really got to push the poo out.
Like a starfish just spitting your stomach out.
Yeah, pretty much.
You poop directly into the water.
Yeah, it goes right into the water. Here's something that's been happening. My balls now touch the water.
Okay, so that's a
my
good...
balls touch the water.
Well, your problem there is you got too much balls.
You got long balls. I got long balls too. That's something that happens as you age. But all right, so that brings us to our email, which does...
What if you accidentally flush your balls? They're gone.
You get a plunger.
You just got it. You got to move forward with your life.
Fart so hard, your balls explode.
So we got a bunch of emails after we advocated for the monkey scoop, where these kids are going in, fucking barrels blazing, and dipping their hands in the toilet water.
Yeah, you can't dip your hands in the toilet water.
Look, it's taken a lifetime of motor skills to do this correctly. Don't just go charging in, monkey scooping away, and getting poop hands.
Slow your roll, man. All right. So, hello, Frocketeers. Can we rehash the discussion of the monkey scoop versus other methods of ass wiping for a moment? Prior to a couple weeks ago, I was firmly in the camp of the cheek lift and back to front swipe method, despite Vince's concern that it's messier than the monkey scoop. I am now considering changing methods because of something that happened while I was in a public restroom while traveling for work. I was leaning forward slightly and doing my back to front business when my dick dipped into the water. I've never had that problem, by the way, for obvious reasons. This has never happened before, but for some reason on that day it did. I panicked. What do you do in that situation? It's a high traffic bathroom, constantly in use by people I have to return to work with. I can't just get up, leave the stall, and wash it off. I had no choice but to clean it off with toilet paper and wait until I was in my hotel room so I could spend the rest of the night in the shower crying softly and calling the front desk for more bars of soap.
Just wrapped it up like a mummy or like a little to-go package from a restaurant, just foiled it. I'll help you later.
Now I feel like it will always be there. When it's time for sexy time with the wife...
Go on.
You guys totally fell down on the job there. Sometimes I think...
My wife!
Sometimes I think, hey, you know what? I dipped that in poop water once. I'm curious to how each of you would handle that situation.
I cut my dick off.
Oh, man, that's no worse than, you know.
Than what?
Than shitting on your dick.
Than going, I mean, then putting your dick in a butt.
I mean, oh, no, that's not true at all. You put your dick in a butt. First of all, it depends on the butt. Some people's butts are so clean.
Depends how hot the butt is.
Yeah, people who monkey scoop.
I don't know. It doesn't. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Some people have clean assholes. My asshole is dirty. I know this. Don't ask. I know things about my own asshole, but some assholes.
Over the course of my life,
some assholes are clean.
Went deep into the forest to learn a few things about my own asshole.
I'm just letting you know.
Butt hermit.
Who are these people? No one has that clean of an asshole.
My girlfriend is a clean asshole.
No way.
You have a girlfriend?
I do. Her name is Monkey Scoop. And I don't fuck
She's
that.
She's got a sweet piece.
I fucked that boo.
She trying to spend your yogurt money?
No, she don't spend that Chobani mini. Only I spend that Chobani mini. I eat that piece though. Then we wake up in the morning. Drink that coffee. Go back to eating that PC. Then she gonna go work. Make that mean.
I enjoy that this is physically exhausting for you. Oh, hold on. Give me a sec. Come on, guys. Come on.
Anyways.
Cool.
What were butts? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know how we feel about this, Frogcast Nation. Brett and I are proponents of the monkey scoop. Brendan's some sort of sick one-cheek lifter, as Matt Lee
I
is.
Have long arms.
I think I go from behind, too. I don't think I'm a scooper, guys.
There's only
you lied to us.
How could you be unsure?
I had to think about what you were saying. And then I mimed it out to myself on the couch.
I did that too, to be real with you. I totally monkey scooped to see what it was like.
Because then you can like...
just like right here.
Yeah.
And you're right.
That the monkey scoop is how ladies do off their vag.
Yeah, off their PC. Like, it's true.
We just talked about how clean their butts are. They maybe they're doing something right.
Yeah. Or maybe they're getting all that poo in their PC. I don't know. I really don't think monkey scooping is an actual solution to the poo problem.
What
happens if you get poo on your balls?
You're not. It's not like a long wipe.
Yeah, what is the metric?
Short wipe.
What's the data here? How much of each?
How much of each what?
How much do each technique?
I do one, three.
I have
three, four.
I five monkey scoop.
Three, four, my three. My.
In your travels, what has the percentage been?
Inside of the vehicle, when you are captain, how many to go?
14.
I take many poop monkeys.
I capture them on the tiny square.
Oh, I forgot to play my favorite boxing winning speech.
Well, we got to wrap this baby up.
I mean, oh, God, just let it end.
All right.
Yeah. No, just,
no,
just
we got
take
four
it
minutes.
Out.
Yeah.
What?
This is boxer. His name's Gennady Golovkin. He's from Kazakhstan.
Yes.
And I love his post-fight speeches. First of all, he knocked the guy out in two rounds. He's fucking amazing.
Play it!
All right. No, that's not it. Why does it go back to that one clip?
But
that's
what is it?
What's that clip?
It sounds like...
Mexican style. Muchas gracias. Champion.
Starting in this new iTunes is fucking me all up. Here we go.
It's not a dance, it's a fight. You call this Mexican style that you love to fight. Did you love this fight?
Of course I love this fight. Mike, give me a chance. Just I take my fans. Thank you very much. Buenas noches, amigos. Buenas noches.
So just imagine Borat speaking Spanish right now, and this is what you, is what.
Yeah, this is what he sounds like.
Buenas noches, amigos. Buenas noches, pasa. ¿Cómo estás bien? Yeah.
Me gusta la biblioteca.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias, Mexican style. Muchas gracias, champion. Campeón. Thank you very much.
So tell me about this fight.
Of course, I like fight.
This is like after he's learned a lot of English. Like some of the ones before this are even better. Of course I like fight.
I don't like dancing, I like fight. This is true fight.
Did Rubio put up the kind of fight that you were expecting?
Yes, of course. Yeah, you know, just Rubio, he's not step back. You know, he's fighter, he's good fighter. Respect him.
Did you think he was going to get up from that knockdown?
You know, yeah, first time, I'm not very hard punch. Just throw him.
I'm sorry, I love broken English.
Yeah, me too.
He's not very hard punch, I throw him.
I like it in porn more than anything. I've told you guys about, shut up, that mom.
Yeah.
Like that guy. That guy.
Very hard punch. Just throw him. I think he's, get up.
Okay, Gennady, we've seen you now destroy all the contender middleweights who are not elite middleweights. We know that you've wanted to fight an elite middleweight for a while now. What is the plan after this knockout?
Max, look at me. I have three belts. You know, I'm staying here. I won't fight everybody. Just I think next year, next fight, it's the pay-per-view fight with great champions.
Meaning who?
Doesn't matter. I think first...
He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he does.
I think it's okay to like broken English without mocking the person using the broken English, right?
Yeah, you're sort of celebrating.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that, like, Brazilians can be like the most badass dude in the world, and then they start speaking in that accent, and you're like, oh, he's like a big teddy bear. It's the cutest thing ever. He can't make consonants.
Well, Machida had like the best, like, victory
if
speech
I could
ever.
Do, yeah, you it was can like, do.
It's you have a dream, you can do it, you think, you have it, and because like he totally had like the interpreter, and you know Joe Rogan's like, how do you feel about this moment? You know, and, like the interpreter's like trying to interpret for him, and he just grabs the microphone like, it's you had a dream, you have it, you take it, it's yours, you want it, you work for it, and. Yeah, it's so for the championship. I am the championship. It's me and I am. Yeah. And like everyone just goes crazy. And I was like, man, that's like the best victory speech ever.
You see one of them call Ronda Rousey Honda, and I just lose my shit like every time. Like, Honda Rousey, she's so good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like is nice. So we always say that Borat ruined accents, but. Hearing Gennady Golovkin talk, you're like, yeah, you know, Borat was not too far from the truth.
Yeah. What?
All right. We're going to wrap this up.
All right. Maureen Todd is on to us. And God bless America.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brandon?
Oh, hey. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Hey.
Laramie? Thanks for coming on as well, even though you're not here anymore.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, you're still here.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
where would I have gone?
I don't know. All right. Well, thanks for listening once again. Send us an email, fratcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
Look, you guys, I just want you to know we're going to try harder next episode, I promise. But 415.
I'm not.
I'm not really either.
275-0030.
I said I would.
I'm not.
I didn't. I said I would last week, and I didn't.
Absolutely not.
Is there me saying this?
Someone just
saying,
broke into my house.
Is someone saying,
are you getting taken down by a canine unit?
That was Bugsy, dude.
Laramie got swatted.
Yeah.
By Game Brigade.
Did you get doxed?
Laramie got doxed and swatted. By
doxed.
Doxed.
All right. Well, until next time, good night and good chins.